because he looks at us a lot. You have your Bible, Psalms tonight, Psalm 97. I want to read one verse, and there'll be several verses I'll get to, and continuing on with this. I'm going to preach on this subject. Being grateful is an overflow of realization. Okay, I know that's a little mouthful. Hopefully we understand. Being grateful is an overflow of realization. The Bible says in Psalm 97, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God and ask that you would bless this message tonight. And as we enter in this season, may we ever be thankful. May we enjoy our time with our family this week and our friends. But even if we're alone, I pray, God, we'd take that time to evaluate everything you have blessed us with and to look at your hand, providence in our life, your hand, a blessing in the past. And God, may it reassure us for today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know, and probably if you don't, you should know, of Helen Keller. She was born as a healthy child in Alabama in June the 27th in 1880. At the age of 19 months, she became deaf and blind as a result of an unknown illness. People believe it's probably rubella or scarlet fever today. But she grew from infancy into childhood. It said that she became extremely wild, extremely unruly. You can only imagine a child that's deaf and blind. But her life changed, and she said it changed on March 3rd, 1887. That was her own testimony. There was a young lady, I believe she was about 20 years of age, by the name of Ann Sullivan, and she came to stay at her home and to be her teacher. She'd had a lot of problems herself with seeing and had been trained to help other people with seeing and people that were blind. And so she went and actually spent the rest of her life with Helen Keller. She began her task trying to teach Helen by manually signing in the child's hand. And what she did, she brought a doll with her, and she started spelling doll out in her hand manually. And she hoped to teach her this, and hopefully it would connect to other letters. She eventually learned to form the letters correctly herself when she wanted the doll in a correct order. But she didn't know she was actually spelling a word at that time. She didn't even know that words existed. In the days that followed, she learned to spell a whole lot more words in a way that's just kind of uncomprehending. It was amazing what this Miss Sullivan was able to do with her. In April the 5th of 1887, less than a month of her arrival there, she was trying to help her pupil, trying to distinguish between the nouns mug and milk, and she would get confused with the verb drink at times. So what Ann did, she took Helen outside to a water pump, and she put her hands underneath the water spout, and as water rushed over her hands, she spelled into the other hand water. And she began to comprehend, and things started clicking in her brain, and the signals she realized meant more than just what she understood at that time. She knew what water meant by what was flowing over her hands. Now she's putting that together with the letters. She immediately started reaching down and grabbing the earth and reached up to her teacher and wanted to know what that was called as well. And so her teacher started teaching her. They said by the end of that day, she had mastered 30 words. Okay? It's quite amazing. Just in a few weeks after that, she mastered the alphabet, and she went on from that to be able to print it or write it, and then she learned how to read it from raised print that was raised for blind people, and so she gained her faculties in reading and writing. She was determined to go to college. Even as a young lady. In 1898, she entered into Cambridge School for Young Ladies to prepare for Radcliffe College. She entered Radcliffe College in 1900, and she received a Bachelor of Arts degree in 1904, and she was the first deaf and blind person to ever do so. The achievement was as probably as much as her teachers as it was hers. What we need to understand is that not only did she have these setbacks in her life, but she always continued to push forward. And people said, why did she push forward such? She had so much and so many things against her. It was based on the attitude that she had. And there's hundreds and hundreds of articles written by Helen Keller and books written by Helen Keller. And some of the very things deal with the very fact that she encouraged people to be thankful and to have a positive spirit with whatever was dealt with her in her life. She began writing. In 1903, she wrote the autobiography, The Story of My Life. It was published. It was published in magazines, and you can actually still yet get the book today, and it's published in over 50 languages today. Think about that. She faced obstacles beyond her sensory issues. She was engaged, and the engagement got broken. There was a fire that destroyed all her possessions. Her teacher died. Let me just tell you some quotes, give you an idea of this woman's spirit. She said, when one door, this is Helen Keller, woman that's blind and deaf. When one door of happiness closes, another opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the God, let me read this again, I don't want to butcher it. When one door of happiness closes, another opens. But we often look so long at a closed door that we do not see the one that God has opened for us. She said, no pessimist ever discovered the secret of the stars or sailed uncharted land to an uncharted land or opened a new heaven to the human spirit. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. She also wrote this, be of good cheer. Do not think of today's failures, but of the successes that will come tomorrow. You have set yourself for the difficult task, but you will succeed if you persevere, and you will find joy in overcoming obstacles. Now, to me, it's just absolutely amazing that a woman born deaf and blind could go on to achieve so much in her life. Now, we know she had the right people in her life, but just any type of quick study about Helen Keller, and you're going to find out she was extremely positive and persistent, and she had the right perspective. She said, Brother Grant, so why are you saying all that to us tonight? Well, here was a woman that if I'd been in her shoes, I'd probably been a grumbler. I would have probably been a complainer. It would have been hard for me to think I could went through life and had been thankful and grateful and went on to achieve the things that she achieved. But the reason that she did it was because of the attitude that she had. Now, she overcome some extraordinary obstacles. I think we all have to recognize that fact. But she did it with a spirit of joy and thanksgiving. So the question is, should not we as Christians, Bible believers, regardless of the obstacles that come in our life, shouldn't our testimony be one of cheer and joy? I believe it should be. And you say, how do we do that? How can we overcome the problems and difficulties in life with a spirit of joy and thanksgiving? Well, as I started off, I'm going to talk about being grateful is an overflow of a realization. And one of the ways that we do this is able to have this spirit of joy and thanksgiving. I think we got to rewind the past. Now, I say that probably some of these young people really don't know what it means to rewind. How about review the past, right? Because they don't know anything about 8-track tapes, VHS tapes, and cassette player. They don't know anything about rewinding and be kind, rewind. But we do review the past, look back over the past. It's been said every person who is thankful today is cognitive of the past. And you look at the Bible, and there's a lot said that reminds us to look back in the past at the great things that God has done. Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. 1 Samuel 12 and 24. Instruction was given, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. And think of this, consider how great things He has done for you. You want to be successful, serve the Lord with all your heart, then look back and consider, think on what great things that I have done for you. And so Psalm 30 and 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O you saints of His. So we're to sing, O you saints of His, and give thanks to the remembrance of His holiness. So we give thanks for God's holiness. As we look back, we are to remember in our life, we're to remember the things that God has done. Remember how the great things that God has done. And so it's been said that a person that's thankful today is one who's cognitive of what God's done in the past. Now, why is that? Because I believe it influences. If we can review our past and what God has done for us, it does something for us in the present. And it helps us to have perspective for the future. You see, the human experience, if you remember something pops in your mind, it can bring joy. Maybe it was something a family member said or some experience you went through. You laugh and it can bring joy to your life. But you know what? I want you to understand, it also works when we think back of the things that God has done. It can bring joy to our soul. When we think back of the people God has saved, that God has transformed, the people God has rescued, what God has done for us in our marriage, or what God has done for our children, and what God has done for His work, and we've seen His hand of deliverance and God's blessing. These things, we look back, we ought to smile and we ought to rejoice knowing that God's still God. And so I believe Thanksgiving comes from remembering the answered prayers of the past. Pretty simple. You remember asking prayers and God answered them in the past. You ought to rejoice in that. Amen? That's something to remind you. And I'll get to this here in a second. But also, I believe Thanksgiving comes from remembers God present in peace. There were times we all went through some deep waters or some difficult storms, some scary times, and yet God's peace and God's presence was there. And looking back on that, we need to be thankful. It should make us grateful. So, you know, God did that for me in the past. We ought to remember God's protection and God's providence and God's intervention in our life. And I can look back at many times, a lot of the dumb things that I've done and things and situations I was in that God delivered me from, that I have to look back and say that had to be God. That had to be God that did that. But also, you go through life. And there's times we get worried about things, but you start thinking about God's provision for all your needs in the past. Has He failed you yet? And so you look back there and you think, you know what, God's good. And I've often said this, faith is knowing what God's done in the past and knowing He's going to do greater things in the future. So saying that, here, how do we have this perspective of thanksgiving over overwhelming problems and difficulties and things a lot of people throw the towel in? I believe we simply look back to the past, and what it does, it causes us to refocus in the future, in the present. You say, how does that make us refocus in the present? Well, think about it this way. Recalling our past gives us a solid foundation. God's always been faithful. Always been faithful in the past. Why should we start believing today that God's going to stop being faithful? But every time trouble comes our way, a little bit of problem comes our way, we somehow don't look back to the past. Right? We're all guilty. I'm guilty. I may know it, but oftentimes I have to remind myself, listen, God took care of this in the past. He'll take care of it again. It might seem big back then, it might seem big now, but God's always took care of the stuff I felt was big, and all of a sudden I look back on it, it was teeny tiny, right? God's able to do that. And you say, what are you saying by that? Well, here's what I'm saying. Colossians 2, I jumped ahead of myself. I better not do that. Psalm 69 and 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Notice this is present tense. I'll praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Psalm 92. Turn there. I'll give you a little bit of time. just trying to sneak in water. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 2. It says a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. It's a good thing to do this. Not a good thing to... He ain't talking about the past now. It's a good thing to do it now. And to think about his loving kindness in the morning, faithfulness every night. You know, it'd probably be good for every one of us to sit down with their family, not just through Thanksgiving. My family could be great for them. Before everybody went to bed, said we rehearse the good things that God had done for us that day. Because we got focused on that, we wouldn't focus on the bad stuff. We go to bed thinking of the good things, how great God is, rather than thinking all the junk and have this perspective that our problems are bigger than God. Right? It'd be good every day. Sit down and say, hey, God's been good. Here's what he's done. God's been faithful, and be thankful for that. You see, I want to say, if you look back on the past with Thanksgiving, you'll be able to look forward with confidence. You'll be able to look forward in confidence and be grateful for your present situation because he's still yet God. Being thankful drowns out, I believe, bad attitudes. See, it does. Being thankful helps subdue being overly critical. By remembering the past, we're able to remind ourselves that God is not only faithful back then, he was faithful to other generations and the generations before that, and he's going to be faithful to me today and into the future and for my children's children. God is faithful. You see, he still can hear and answer prayer. He answered prayers in the past. He can still do that today. Right? You see, God, he was with me in the past, and he was there with, his presence did not leave me in the past. Guess what? He's still going to be here today, and he'll be there tomorrow. You see, you remember that. Another thing is that if he gave you peace in the past, why should you not go to him now? The disciples were up on the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm of wind come, and they all was in that boat, scared to death that they was all going to die. Finally, somebody wakes him up, says, Master, don't you care? We're going to perish. Carest thou not that we perish? And he stood up and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and guess what? It all calmed down, perfect tranquility. And they stood there amazed, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey? Well, let me just tell you something. You know what they should have done? They should have went to Jesus first. Right? They probably talked about them and said, what are we going to do? We've never experienced anything like that. How do we get through this? They should have went to Jesus first. But you know what we often do? We call people, we talk people, we look for advice, we read an article, and we get scared. But how much talking to the Lord have we done? Because you see, once we do that, we go to him. If he took care of it in the past, guess what? He'll take care of it today. That's firm reliance. You see, there's something about reviewing the past that gives you courage, that you can do this, that you can overcome. If he's protected you, guess what? He'll protect you. If he protected you in the past, he'll protect you in the battles ahead. You see, it's nothing new to him. If he provided for everybody, hey, listen, if he can take care of the children of Israel with nothing out in the middle of the wilderness, God can take care of you right where you're at in America today. Amen? But we're so silly. Why do we get in a place that we worry and scared and fretful? Because we don't look back in the past and what God's done. When we look back what God's done, it should give us courage in the present. And when we have courage in the present, we have the proper perspective about all things in the future and everything that is before us. Colossians 2 and verse 6 through 7, it says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding. I mean, staying therein. Staying therein, abounding with thanksgiving. Let me just tell you something. Somebody's thankful, we think they're weird. It's abnormal to run somebody with a truly grateful, just thankful over everything. Like, what's wrong with them people? That shouldn't be the unusual for the Christian. By the way, that should be the normal for all of us. And I stand here guilty as anybody that's ever preached a sermon, I'll promise you. Anybody that's ever listened to a sermon about this. But I had read that the word thanksgiving is used in the Bible 136 times in some form, 136 times. But the idea of giving thanks occurs many, many, many more times than just that. We are to be a grateful people. It all comes down to perspective. If we remember the past, we can get things settled in the present. We look forward to the future. Having the wrong perspective is because we're not thankful. There were these golfers. I heard this story of golfers who went out to play, these four men, and they had been golfing buddies for years, and they were getting older now. And in fact, the game they loved became somewhat wearisome upon them, and they didn't enjoy it quite as much as they used to. And there was a reason for that, we might say. But one of the men began to complain. And the reason for his complaint was, he said, the hills, I believe, are getting steeper on this course. Second one said, the fairways are getting longer, I know that. And the third one said, you know what? They're making them traps a lot bigger. And finally, the oldest one, who was 87 years of age and probably the wisest, he looked at all of them and said, I'll tell you what, you guys just need to be thankful that you're on the top side of the grass today. Amen. So that's the right perspective. A lot of things can be a lot worse. Gratitude, let me just tell you something, should be the norm, not the unusual for the believer. And let me say this, gratitude is not optional for a believer, it's a responsibility. We're his representatives here, and one of the ways we show praises to God is by being grateful, or show glory to him. Psalm 69:30. Psalms are just so much there. You just pick a few, right? But Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 107:1. And we read, we'll come back to that. But Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Now, what starts off, to give thanks to the Lord, he's good, mercy endures forever, so you be thankful. But what's interesting, that in verse 8 of that chapter, verse 15 of that chapter, verse 21, verse 31, says identically the same thing. And here's what it says in all those verses. It tells us this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness in Psalm 107:8. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Guess where it says again? Verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. Why is it five times mentioned here that we need to be thankful, that we give thanks to the Lord for he's good, mercy endureth forever. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Because we need to be reminded that we have a responsibility to be thankful. Because it goes against our sinful nature. Our nature would rather complain and fuss. There's a clear command that thanksgiving is not optional. Let me say this. Gratitude should be the overflow of our lives, not the occasional action. And so, Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Think of this. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If God has made this day, and he control all things that will come at us in this day, and all things will be for our good and for his glory, then we can probably learn to apply 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. In everything, the heartaches, the griefs, the difficulties, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, I believe the problem for many of our lack of spirituality in my life, lack of spirituality in other people's lives, is because I'm not thankful enough. Once we get that straight, it's amazing how God straightens out so many other things in our life. If you want your future promising, you better learn that thanksgiving is not something you do. Being thankful is something that you are. Because of who God is and your focus on him. It's the overflow of your life. Maybe you need to review your past. Maybe you need to refocus in the present. And maybe you need to regain perspective. But I promise you where that starts is remembering the faithfulness of God in everything. And once you get that down, everything can fall in place. And you can't do none of those things unless you got your attitude right. We say an attitude of gratitude. There's nothing probably could be as influential as a life lived with that perspective. A realization that God's faithful in the past, and it's the same God today, will give you a perspective of a future that's God-centered, and you can march courageously right into it. Our Father, thank you. And Lord, I know a lot of sermons now that I've preached in the past couple weeks just on being having the right attitude, being grateful and being thankful, and having the right perspective. But God, if we enter into this season, may we not just enter in as a day of just football and turkey and eating and family and friends. May it be a spiritual day. May it be a day we take the time to look around the table and appreciate everybody that's there. Appreciate the impact that they've had upon our life. Appreciate the kindness that they've shown. Appreciate the very things that they've done. May we see the good qualities, even of the family members we think is half crazy. Help us to look at them and realize the things that they have done and appreciate them and love them. I look back at some of the greatest and fondest memories was those times with family around the table and the laughter and the joy and God, just your goodness in everybody's life. Stories that they remind me of your faithfulness. And God, I pray that we would see that these are the important things. We thank you for your word tonight. God, may it challenge us and remind us yet again today. In Jesus' name, amen.